Hey, Bucks fans, a very unique start to the Ira Kaufman podcast today. We taped last night like we usually do or often do. And of course, poof, 10 o'clock this morning, 10:15, your Buccaneers traded for Jason Pierre-Paul. I'm Steve Isbitz of JoeBucksFan.com, one of the voices here on the Ira Kaufman podcast. The sage of Tampa Bay sports, of course, is the star of the show. But we recorded last night and we had to make some adjustments, right? Because we didn't want to throw this thing out at about noon without addressing Pierre-Paul. So we've edited the podcast. I've talked to the sage to get a quick take from him. I'm going to actually do a dramatic reading of what Ira has to say before we get to the full podcast, which hits on a lot of topics. And thankfully, a big talk from Ira in the podcast was about the trenches and perspective there and a lot of things that should be happening, could be happening, have been fixed, haven't been fixed. And so it really ties into the Pierre-Paul signing very well. And there's plenty of other fun stuff there going on too. So thank you for all of you who tune in. We are greatly appreciative. And of course, the star, it's really all about Ira. And Ira has emailed me. I'm going to do a dramatic reading here. Jason Light. This is Ira's voice. I'm not going to insult the guy and do an imitation of Ira, but I'll just read it. Jason Light has hit his off-season stride, says the sage. I asked for a few doubles, but Jensen and Pierre-Paul look like major upgrades. Home runs, I'm injecting that. This gives the Bucks more flexibility heading into the draft, where Quentin Nelson would fit in quite nicely. While the Giants rebuild, the Bucks are making a stand that their time is at hand. How about that rhyme by the sage? And you know, when I read that from Ira, making a stand, that's the element here. That is the key piece of what happened today. We heard a lot of noise from the Bucks, specifically Jason Light. We're very, very close. Very, very close, he said. And a lot of Bucks fans replied, very, very close to what, Mr. Light? But you know what? Now, hope is restored. As I tweeted on our Joe Bucks fan account earlier, I see you, Bucks fans. I see you wanting to put on your damn gear. I see you proud again. I see you ready to take on the 2018 season. And that is what free agency is all about. Stay tuned. Sage is coming up. The podcast will be back Tuesday from the NFL owners meetings after mingling and learning all kinds of stuff. A lot of great stuff coming next week. And here is what we hope is a great podcast. Proudly presented by Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa and Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon, it's the Ira Kaufman Podcast. Thank you so much for all the listeners, the thousands of listeners. We appreciate the growth of the podcast. Those of you who tune in on Podbean, Google Play, iTunes, wherever you are, and on JoeBucksFan.com, the podcast posts first every Tuesday and Thursday. We appreciate it. Want to save money on a Cadillac? Make sure it's backed by Morse. At Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa, right now, not only can you lease a 2018 ATS coupe for just $349 a month, zero down, if you find a lower price on a new Cadillac, they will match it or refund you $500. That's the Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa Price Protection Promise. Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa, just west of 275 on Fletcher, or visit edmorsecadillactampa.com. You can get all the details there, and you can also visit edmorse.com/promise. for complete details on the price protection promise. And at Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon, just west of Causeway Boulevard, right there, it's clearance time. Save up to $13,000 on remaining 2017 Cadillacs, and for a limited time only, get 0% for 72 months on the powerful Cadillac Escalade. Plus, you get free car washes for life. At Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon on Causeway Boulevard, visit edmorsecadillacbrandon.com for all the details. Great pre-owned selection, edmorsecadillacbrandon.com. We appreciate their support, and here's Ira. Happy Thursday. It's the Ira Kaufman Podcast starring the sage of Tampa Bay sports, the sage, Mr. Ira Kaufman. We appreciate all the love and support. I'm Steve Isbitz, JoeBucksFan.com. Lee DeKemper is here. Of course, we're back at Port Richey Hooters doing our thing here at night, late night podcast. I like when you get out late. Ira, you're a different kind of guy.
I'm a silent sentinel at night. You know, when the sun goes down, my temperature drops. But I'm trying to keep up my passion. And you know what, guys? This is our last podcast before we hit Orlando very hard. And I mean hard. For the NFL owners meetings next week, we're going in opposite directions, but we all have the same objective: give our listeners and our readers most up-to-date and analytical information we can find on their Buccaneers.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to my annual harassment of Scott Pioli. I usually enjoy that at the owners' meetings. One of my favorite pastimes.
He's a strange duck, Pioli. He's a strange duck.
Very paranoid, strange duck. But he likes you, Ira, like all these people do.
But I'm going in like a mollusk again. You know, maybe I can find Dirk Cutter, Jason Light, or an assorted glazer. You never know.
So, Ira, your podcast, of course, we heard all the wonderful offerings from Ed Morris Cadillac Tampa and Ed Morris Cadillac Brandon. We bow to their greatness, and all the March offers are right on the websites. Definitely check that out.
That's not April Fool's. There's no April Fool's Day involved with those reports from Ed Morris Cadillac Tampa and Ed Morris Cadillac Brandon. There's nothing foolish about those, right, Steve? You're not fooling around.
Absolutely not, Ira. Absolutely not. All right, now look. Ira, Monday, we finished our podcast right before Ryan Jensen and Vinny Curry stepped to the podium and introduced themselves to...
Vinny Boom Boom Curry. Absolutely.
They introduced themselves to the Tampa Bay media. And Ira, you know, you saw the news conferences. What, any impressions? What stood out to you? To me, Ryan Jensen getting up there saying he's a quote-unquote tone setter because he takes great pride in being physical and nasty, and he considers himself a tone setter. I've never heard Donovan Smith or Ali Marpet say, hi, I'm a tone center. What's your take?
Lee, they lived up to billing. And by that, I mean, what have we been talking about every week since that hellacious 2017 season ended? What have we been talking about? We've been talking about, let's get physical. Let's get tough. Let's get nasty.
Okay, Olivia.
It's not Bette Midler. It's Olivia.
Olivia Newton-John, by the way, before Steve corrects.
Lee, they just bumped up their toughness quotient. They just bumped it up, especially, I think, with Jensen. And as a double shot, Marpet goes back to where he belongs and where I have been saying I would have never moved him. I know I might have been a voice crying out in the wilderness, maybe, but it looks like it hasn't taken the Bucks very long to realize, hey, Jensen's going to be center, Marpet's going to be guard. Look, I've been yakking about toughness for so long that I can't be a hypocrite. They just took some strides. Did they hit a home run? I've been looking for doubles. They just got a couple of doubles, Lee. Nothing wrong with that.
I think the light was painted into a corner. It was out there before Jensen signed with the Bucks. On social media, it was all over. I don't know who. Obviously, Jensen has contacts with the media. If I'm not playing center, I'm not signing. They had light over a barrel. Light wanted them that bad, and he did. And Peter King's column, Monday Morning Quarterback, within 10 minutes of the free agent dinner bell ringing, one of the first phone calls was Jason Light. And it wasn't asking about Kirk Cousins. They have the same agent. Kirk Cousins and Jensen have the same agent. But the third call to Jensen's office was Light asking about Jensen. So, obviously, Light wanted him back.
Steve, can you imagine the agita? The agita of Buck fans when the Bucks allowed Jensen to get out of one Buck place and fulfill that next trip to Indy? A lot of Buck fans figured he's gone. They're not going to get him. So, give Light credit. He ponied up money. And as a result, Jensen got one hefty payday. But you know what? I don't think Buck fans care, nor should they.
Nor should they. And that's going to bring me to a point. But before we get there, one of the things I love about you, Yair, one of the great things I love about you is your vocabulary. I always thought I had a decent vocabulary. You blow me away. You might want to define that word you use.
Adjective. Yeah. That's an Italian word. In Bensonhurst, they used it all the time.
I thought it was Latin.
When I went to New York High School, Steve. So maybe by the way, the high school that's shown in the beginning of Welcome Back, Cotter. That's my high school, New Utrecht High School. You didn't know about that, Lee.
So maybe I'm thinking of a different word. It's basically the root word we're discussing is agitate, correct?
I believe it's agitate. It's like acid reflux. You're choking on your own stuff. What it means is you're plenty nervous, Steve. And I didn't think the Bucks were going to let Jensen out of one buck.
All right. We got that, Sage.
But
we got
him.
What'd you think of the guys on the podium, though? Are you as delivered? You like the tough talk?
Acid reflux.
I thought they were loquacious.
No, don't start talking over people here.
Here we go. No. I thought they were glib. They were well-spoken. Well-spoken. Both of them could end up being on the Buccaneer Radio Network with their own show, because I think there's some guys that have been on the Buccaneer Radio Station. Sorry, Jeff Ryan, that really didn't belong there and didn't get the job done, even though they were very good players. Look, they spoke their piece, and I think they said what Buck fans want to hear. Steve, these guys are tough. They're out to kick ass on both sides of the ball.
Brawlers.
And I like Curry's pedigree more than anything. He knows what it's like, just like Bo Allen, to raise that Lombardi trophy. I think that's an intangible, Lee. That's worth something. It's worth a little something. And as far as Jensen's concerned,
that was maybe more than a double for Jason Light. That's the one I think we're going to look back and say, boy, that was a hell of a signing. And I don't care how much he's making. Good signing.
But here's what I'm going to get at, and I want your feedback on this. And I know you wrote a column at Sue's Not the Ants, and I get that. And Pat Kerwin is Sirius XM NFL Radio, former Jets personnel director, pro player personnel director. You know, he went on record saying a defensive tackle is not going to turn around your team. But Sue, as of our recording, which is Wednesday night at Port Richey Hooters, Sue has trimmed his suitors down to three teams. All three are playoff teams: Rams, Titans, Saints. God forbid if one of those teams, especially the Saints, and I will include the Rams in this because Wade Phillips is a defensive wizard. If Wade Phillips didn't want Sue, they wouldn't be talking to him. You know that. So let's say, you know, the Bucs have more salary cap than these other teams. These are playoff teams, mind you. They're going to find a way or have found a way to squeeze Sue into their budget. And then Jason Light's talking about, we got to sign these guys a couple years down the road. God forbid for his public image. If Sue makes the playoffs and they make a deep run with the Saints or the Rams or even the Titans and the Bucs don't make the playoffs, God forbid that happens for Jason Light's public image. Because Buck fans, he won't be able to go to Publix at night to get a chicken tender sandwich.
Your point's understood. May I throw this out at? The Bucs played the Dolphins last year in Miami, the game that was postponed from the hurricane. And I got to tell you, Steve, I didn't notice Ndamukong Suh. I didn't think he made a big difference. I didn't think he was a compelling factor in the game. The Bucs ended up winning the game. They had a big lead, almost choked it away. I didn't see much of Sue that day, and that was going up against, more Pat and Sweezy.
Ira, last podcast you told us of glaring problems on the Bucs' interior line. They contained Sue.
Well, that doesn't mean they don't have interior problems on the line.
I'm just teasing you, Ira. I'm
And by the way, now that you got Jensen, that doesn't mean you don't go out and get Nelson. And you cross Quentin Nelson. You don't cross Quentin Nelson off your list.
I agree.
Just because you got Jensen.
I wouldn't do it, but I know where you're coming from, but I don't disagree. That makes sense.
Yeah, of course, Iron. You know, Lee's point is pretty simple and straightforward. Bucks have the cash, and the good teams in this league all have strong cores of players. That's why they're good. So if they can go out and hunt Sue and squeeze him into the budget, the Bucks have comfortable budget to put him in there. Most of these NFL deals are no more than 2 years guaranteed, usually one and a half.
Drew Brees is making a hell of a lot more money than Jameis Winston
right now.
And the Saints are going after Sue.
So, you know, the Bucs have a need. And, yeah, they could always sign Sue and get rid of Unrein. You know, Bo Allen's getting his money. He's used to platooning. He didn't even play half the snaps in Philly last year. I think it was 42%. So, I mean, what would be the harm in getting nasty and tough and tougher? But the Bucs aren't interested, and I get it. If they really believe that Sue's a bad fit, he doesn't go to OTAs and there's all this stuff, but you know what? If he ends up on a great NFC team and is in deep in the playoffs and making plays, well, then what did we get? Nothing.
I lean toward you when you wrote that column, 2 weeks ago, that Sue's not the answer, and I get that. I understand, like Steve said, he's kind of a loner on a team unit concept. He does his own thing in OTA, sort of like a Swaggy Baker, although I hate to slander the guy by invoking
slander. He's got a bit of a shaky reputation in some areas.
He does, so I can understand why, you know, there might be some apprehension about bringing him in the locker room. But the thing for me is, if Wade Phillips wants him, and again, I'll say if Wade Phillips didn't want him, Rams wouldn't be talking to the guy. If Wade Phillips can always find a way to use guys. If Wade Phillips wants him, my antennas are raised. My eyebrows are raised. Here's one for you. And I agree with Kerwin, a defensive tackle is not going to turn around your team. But let's look at two woeful franchises he's been on. The Lions haven't done anything since Barry Sanders except for 1 year. Sue was on that team. The Dolphins haven't done squat since Dan Marino and Jimmy Johnson were around except for 1 year. Last year, Sue was on that team. So how much of a cancer was he?
I don't think he's the right fit for the Bucs, Steve.
I don't think so either, but I'd still love to have him. I'd love to find out. It's not my money.
Dirk Cutter always likes to say, you can't have enough good players.
There you go. Ring the bell. All right, Ira, I got a question for you, right? Let's say you're Dirk Cutter. Ryan Jensen is on your team now. You're trying to change a little bit of this line culture. The culture in the trenches, at the very least, they're clearly trying to change. Do you tell Jensen, hey, look, I want you to come out and practice and give McCoy a shot. I want to set a tone here and come out and bury X guy.
Crazier things have happened, Steve. Now, it doesn't happen a lot at one Buck place, not in the last 10 years during the lost decade. Yeah, how about a little culture change? How about a little little shot to McCoy's gut. See what kind of reaction you get. Establish yourself that, hey, we're the boss around here, this offensive line. We're not taking any prisoners. I heartily endorse that.
Yeah, I hope they have the foresight to do some stuff like that. You know, even on the flip side, I'd love to see Brenson Buckner get in Bo Allen's ear and say, I want you to go through the whistle on Marpet and toughen these guys up, show them that we're, you know what I'm saying? They need that, and it's the new guys who can bring that. McCoy's not going to do that. The guys who are established aren't going to do that. It needs to start right away, and I hope they do something like
that. The Bucks have been pushed around for far too long. They're not a physical team. They haven't been a physical team since they were a good team way back when, and that's a long time ago. There's
were
no
they
John
physical with Shiano?
Not particularly. Not particularly.
They're the number one run defense, Ira. Get out of here.
Never mind that. They gave up 30 points a game. That ain't physical.
Doug Martin ran wild. Come on, get out of here, Ira.
Ran wild. They lost their first 8 games of the year. That's being physical.
In 2012, they were a very physical football team. Yeah. And that's part of the reason they got Goldson, because they wanted to get him more physical, and he's blowing guys' heads off.
And in December, they folded like a cheap suit. That's why he turned on Freeman, and that's why Buck fans turned on Shiano.
I hear
you. They folded.
They weren't soft in 2012, though. I'll give them that. Not soft.
That's 6 years ago anyway.
That's old news. All right, Ira, now listen. I wrote this on JoeBucksFan.com, and I knew that a lot of the commenters would say, oh, Joe, you're an idiot. Blah, blah, blah,
I only did two of those comments, so don't blame me too much.
Thank you, Ira, thank you. So, but look, I was not there. I watched the Jensen news conference, and I watched the Vinnie Curry news conference. Put them together, it was about 22 minutes. Neither one of those guys mentioned Jameis Winston or Gerald McCoy. Now, that is very difficult to do, and that's not something we've ever seen in the last couple of years, where a free agent comes in and doesn't mention the guys he's going to be playing alongside, the icons, the faces of the franchise. Curry never mentioned Gerald McCoy. And Jensen never mentioned the guy he's snapping the ball to. Am I out of my mind here? Is that just coincidence?
Obviously, Jensen was fascinated with Ali Marpet with that ukulele. He kept talking about Ali Marpet. And how they went to dinner, the night before.
Yeah. Donovan Smith, too, right?
I understand your point, Steve. I wouldn't read too much into it. Maybe the questions then lead in that direction where you get to, talk about your appreciation for Jameis Winston. Bo Allen talked about Jameis Winston because he faced him, and Ryan Jensen didn't. So, Steve, you're up to your old tricks trying to look into nooks and crannies, looking for dirt. And I'm not going to help you in that endeavor.
Got to defend Steve here.
Of course.
Because I set him up. I wrote a story a couple weeks ago where, has Jameis lost his charm? He was like the big recruiter. He is a reason why DeSean Jackson's here. DeSean Jackson said he took less money to come here to play with Jameis. And Jameis was out there recruiting. Peter Schrager has told me stories. Peter Schrager, NFL Network and Fox Sports, about, in previous seasons, in warm-ups, opposing players during warm-ups would come across the field just so they could meet Jameis. He's the rock star. And I'm wondering, you don't hear anything out of Jameis of late outside of him putting up Instagram videos of him working out, him taking his baby mama out to dinner, birthday dinner. I'm starting to wonder, and what Steven said, I kind of set the table for Steve in the sense that Steve, has Jameis lost his charm in the circle of NFL brethren?
I think you guys are fishing. The only thing I want to hear about Jameis Winston, gentlemen, is when we get to Orlando next week, I want some answers about this so-called investigation, and we better come up with some answers. And if I can get a couple of drinks into Goodell at a party around that pool, I'm going to come up with some good stuff.
It's going to be very interesting on that front, Ira.
Hold on, Curry.
I can't take your attacks.
Let me finish this. Curry just finished playing for several years with Fletcher Cox. Now, with all due respect to Gerald McCoy, I'm not sure McCoy is better than Fletcher Cox. He may not be as good as Fletcher Cox.
Cox is a good player, yeah.
Cox is a damn good player. He doesn't come to Tampa with stars in his eyes. Ooh, I get to play with Gerald McCoy, as much as you're trying to lead me to believe. He knows McCoy's a hell of a player. But he just finished playing with one of the best defensive tackles in football. Mm-hmm. Maybe number two to Aaron Donald. Maybe.
Ooh.
Maybe. But comparable to McCoy, if not better. Comparable. So there's your Vinnie Curry answer.
Better than
Sage. For you with your stars in the eyes.
Better than Atkins, Cincinnati?
Atkins has slipped, I think, in the last few years. I think he slipped. You guys, what is this smacking Jameis Winston around?
Oh, no. We're not smacking him around. I'm just wondering. It's just an observation.
I'm just looking for your sage wisdom, Ira.
I wouldn't read too much into Ryan Jensen not bringing up Jameis Winston.
That's fine. It's your podcast. You gave us the wisdom.
Ryan Jensen got paid, and Ryan Jensen's going to be a center. Thus, Ryan Jensen is a Buccaneer. Got nothing to do with Jameis Winston.
All right. Hey, couple of things. First, subscribing on iTunes is the way to go. You get a little alert. It's free. Subscribe on Google Play, Podbean. Leave a comment on Podbean, iTunes. We love the comments. Leave a 5-star review. We can't. That's always
Lee,
good.
Lee gives me an update every week about the popularity. It's unbelievable.
Ira's got over 100 5-star reviews. So give us a review. We love to hear him. We love to see him. And it raises the profile of the podcast. Little tease, Ira. We are going to be announcing as soon as the schedule comes out, the next podcast, because the new NFL schedule comes out mid-April, your fan retreat from fanretreat.com, where we're going to get to go on the road with you and hang out the night before a game.
This is what was wiped out last season.
It got
very
wiped
unfortunately.
Out. Very unfortunate. A huge event wiped out by Hurricane Irma. A lot of RSVPs. Well, I think it was over 200. That's coming back strong. So we got... Then announcements are coming up on that. And also, Ira, the draft party, the commission's draft party, Bucks Uncensored. JoeBucksFan.com is fully part of it this year. First night of the draft, Buffalo Wild Wings on Southdale Mabry. You've probably seen it on the website. You're going to see a 30-day countdown coming up soon. Ira's going to be there. It's going to be a blowout. If you went to last year's party, this is going to be, I'm going to say, at least 40% better. And that's hard to do.
Wow.
So we got some cool things planned. That's where you want to be.
A lot of amenities. A lot of new amenities coming at
New amenities. And night two of the draft. Justin will be back there, too. You weren't there night two, Ira. But you know what? Full house with Bucks Uncensored Crazies
night,
were out
night
there.
Night two, I showed up at one Buck place, and I was telling all these media hacks what happened at the party. And they couldn't believe that many people showed up, and there was all kinds of chanting going on. And I had to tell my fellow scribes what they missed. I got to decide what to do this year. I might show up at that Pulaski party night two over there.
Well, despite what some of the people in that room say about Steve and I, and I like to throw the word professional around. Oh, by the way, I do have a journalism degree. And added to that, I had to take a journalism ethics class,
nice.
Which I know some people in there don't have either. And the fact that they were shocked at Pulaski's popularity, one of my tenets of being a good journalist is having a pulse of the common man. If they were that shocked about Pulaski's popularity, it tells me they don't have a pulse of their readers.
Well, it goes back, talked about it before. Some members of the local media, some would have, you know, rather not eat for a week than be caught in a room with a couple of fans.
You're going
to
give us names, Ira.
No, there's no names. There's no names.
Oh, but, by the way, about your podcast, still holding at number 14.
Holding steady.
You have really shoved George Stephanopoulos behind. He's eating your cinders big time. Although Nancy Grace is gaining on you.
Nancy Grace? She doesn't have any crime cases to talk up.
Apparently
we haven't heard from her since OJ.
And, of course, those are the Google Play podcast national rankings, all subjects. Ira, speaking of national news, a Buccaneer free agent was finally signed. Finally, somebody wanted one of the guys off our team.
76 trombones sent the big parade.
His name.
How about that?
You might have to define that one. I know where you're coming from.
It's a big song from a Broadway musical.
Yeah, well, 1920s.
I don't know what the hell that was.
I think it's from The Music Man.
They're gonna close Hooters for that, whatever you were just doing. But Clinton McDonald is now a member of the Broncos, Ira. 2-year deal. We don't know the money yet as of this taping, but he must have... Think he died and got to defensive line heaven. They got 33 sacks over there. That was the number 3 ranked defense, although they let up a lot of points. What
he's
do you make
got,
of that?
He's also got Von Miller coming off the edge, which ain't too shabby.
What do you make of that, Ira?
What I make of it is I kind of wish the Bucs would have signed him for defensive line depth. He's a guy who doesn't bitch if he doesn't play, and he's playing behind Swaggy. If he ever had a reason to bitch, It was 2017. No, he's too much of a pro to do that. Great locker room guy. I know in the end it's, can you play? And you know what? I thought he could still play. You know, he had a role. I wish him the best of luck. And you know what? Lee, you'll agree with me. Intangibles off the field, you won't meet a finer person. You just won't.
You won't meet a finer person in the locker room. What he did for the community, especially when Irma came out and out of his own pocket, he had food trucks going to South St. Pete and other areas Hillsborough County. Yeah, I know St. Pete's and Pinellas. But he had food trucks going out to help people out without a power, needy people, without a power for a week. That was tremendous. He got results as far as sacks this year. And you know what? Hey, I have my broken record, but the Bucs didn't have any reason to get rid of anybody that produced any kind of sacks. But I will say this. You're talking about what a stand-up locker room guy is. Stand-up guy. Class personified. However, where was he to step on Swaggy Baker if he had to throw him in a locker or something? You know, again, it took two young guys, Quan and Jameis, with second last game of the season, to finally unload on Swaggy.
Fair point.
I would not be surprised if that was one of the reasons why, we don't need to bring Clinton back. Because apparently he tolerated it. He didn't do anything to stop it.
You could make the same argument about Jay Hayes, and he's not back. He let it go on for far too long.
Yeah, Robert Ayers as well, and they cleaned house, and good. I'm glad they did, Nothing personal, but it was a rotten unit. Now they got some new energy.
He is the epitome of a professional, though.
Class.
Very religious guy, but he didn't beat you over the head with it.
I didn't know he was religious. I know he's a military guy.
Very religious.
I believe his father's still in the service, if I'm not mistaken.
But the kind of guy, you know what? I'll find a place for him on my 53-man roster. I may not start him, but I find a place for him. That's all I'm saying.
You got to let go of these old guys, especially a defensive tackle, over 30, 31 years old now.
Got results, though.
I mean,
at the end of the day, he got
Steve,
results.
Are you going to be proud every year to say that you're one of the five youngest teams in the NFL? After a while, that's no badge of honor. I'm sorry, it's not.
McDonald was hurt a lot. No reason to think he wasn't going to get hurt more. We got a younger guy in there. Let's draft a guy. Let's get some animals out there. All right, Ira, you came into this podcast. You're bugging me, tapping me on the shoulder, pulling my shirt, saying, I got to talk about my big three in the draft. I don't even know what that means. So what's your big three in the draft?
I haven't talked a lot about the draft, Lee. And now, a month away, give or take, we got to obviously focus on it. All right, here's my big three. Lee, you tell me where I'm wrong. First of all, I think the Bucs are very, very fortunate. If you're going to pick seven, you might as well do it in a year where all these quarterbacks are available.
Yeah,
if you've got a bad year for quarterbacks, you're not going to get the guy you want at seven. Now you might. So I don't believe quarterbacks are going to go off the board boom, 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 boom. First of all, Cleveland's not taking two quarterbacks. They'll take one. Their other guy is going to be Barkley, Chubb, or Nelson. Mm-hmm. That's who Cleveland's going to take. My big three, Barkley, Chubb, and Nelson. Not in any particular order. In terms of need, Chubb's obviously number one for the Bucs.
Need, yeah.
Obviously. But I want to go with my ranking. And if I think Nelson's a better player, I'm going to take Nelson. When you stray off your board, you make a mistake. I think the odds are pretty good that the Bucs are going to get one of those three guys if that's the way that Light and Spytek and Cutter have things broken down.
Hold on, Ira. Now, I'm cutting you off intentionally because you got to explain yourself. Why do you think at number seven, and I'm assuming number seven for the sake of argument, why do you think one of those three guys is going to be there?
Because I think four quarterbacks can go in the first six.
Who's taking a quarterback?
Who's taking a quarterback?
Yeah.
The Browns.
Okay.
The Giants could. A lot of Giant fans want them to.
Yeah.
Then we go to the Jets.
They probably will.
It appears that the Jets will. Then we lurch over to number four.
Which is the Browns, and they're not taking a second quarterback.
All right. And then you got to move up. You got the Buffalo move. Boom, boom, boom.
Where's Buffalo moving?
they're moving to five or six or whatever. And there's a chance four quarterbacks are going to be taken.
You need a miracle. You need the Giants to take a quarterback, and you need Buffalo to find a partner. That's what you need.
That partner could be the Bucs.
Right, but then they're not taking one of Ira's big three.
Well, what if the Colts don't take one of the big three? Maybe the Colts don't take one.
Well, they're not drafting a quarterback.
No, they're not.
They got to take one of them. They're not that stupid. You're not going to take one of the big three?
Maybe they take the corner out of Ohio State. Maybe they take Minka Fitzpatrick.
So you got to get lucky.
You got to get a little bit lucky here. But if I can get one of those big three, I think Buck fans should be happy. They should be happy. I know the guy they want is Chubb. Lee, I know there's some sentiment out there. Move up and get Chubb. I think it's going to be an exorbitant price. It almost always is. And unless you're convinced this guy is going to be a stud from day one, I'm not doing it. I'd be happy with one of those three.
Now, wait a minute. Light's
going to have to be on his toes
all right,
early.
You're all over the place. It's driving me crazy. Why do you think Chubb is their guy? You think Chubb's their guy? You think they would take Chubb over Barkley?
Well, we said in terms of need.
He was talking about in his terms of need, in Ira's eyes,
you know,
not Jason Light's eyes.
I'm going with what Dirk Koetter said the day after the season ended. The first thing he said, we didn't do a good job of generating a pass rush with a four-man rush last year.
You think?
That was his number one takeaway.
There's a guy out on the street with a white cane that could figure that out.
So, look, are you arguing that Chubb is clearly the highest-rated defensive lineman?
No, I'm not arguing anything. I'm just saying
Well, defensive line is their priority. That's their priority.
It better be.
So that begs the question, do you move up to make sure you try to get Chubb? I don't know how high you got to move up. I mean, how do you know the Giants won't take him at number two? You don't know these things. Chubb Barkley Nelson.
Chubb Barkley Nelson. So I wrote this up that don't you think Light right now should be hammering the Colts to try to trade for that pick now before it gets too late?
Well, first of all, you just made the argument that they all could be gone like within the first four or five picks. So what good is it moving up to number six? You're all over the map right now, Isbeth.
No, I didn't make that argument. I said, why? Explain yourself why you think somebody would be available at seven. You got a much better shot at six.
Well, I don't know what the Colts are going to do, but it certainly wouldn't shock anybody if they took Chubb.
Or
Barkley or Nelson.
All three.
The Colts are a wild card. They're not taking a quarterback.
To a lesser degree, the Giants are.
Depending on what goes on, early, I'm not in favor of moving up, Lee. I don't think this team's one player away. You've made the point about Chubb in terms of rookie defensive lineman not often making a big impact. Joey Bosa notwithstanding, doesn't happen very often. You know what? If you want to make a move up, you got to run that past ownership. That's where they step in too, Steve. They got a voice in this.
You're
so I'm on to something here.
Well, you're setting me up for a conspiracy theory here.
Well, don't forget, Koetter and Light may not be looking at things the same exact way as the Glazers are. They may be thinking a little more long term.
The Glazers, you mean?
The Glazers.
Of course, I agree with that.
So there's a lot of dynamics at play, Lee.
And I'm not. I know your sources. I know, and you're a veteran of the Bucks beat staff. What you're suggesting is if they got to tap Joe Glazer or Brian Glazer on the shoulder draft night, like, can we trade up?
And he asked, what's it going to cost?
Well, did the same thing not have to happen when they got Aguayo? There's speculation out there that it was a Glazer call. Of course, no one's ever going to admit that on the record. There's speculation out there. So if Light was going to have a ballsy move like that to trade up for a kicker in the second round, I would suggest if he's got to get permission to trade up in the first round, he sure as hell had to get permission to trade up in the second round to get a kicker.
That is one hell of a theory, that the decision to draft Aguayo in the second round generated from the Glazer family. That's one hell of a theory, Steve. You can't possibly believe that. Can you, Isbeth?
Personally, I don't believe it. I've seen the reports.
I didn't say they didn't okay it, but I'm saying originate.
Yeah, no, I don't believe it. If you have to stick a gun to my head, I don't believe it. Doesn't make sense.
I guess I do have to stick a gun to your head.
Yeah, to me, it doesn't make sense. It doesn't fit the MO, but owners are owners. But, I mean, would they really just be that excited about a kicker? I mean, I don't understand.
From what a soccer team, remember.
Steve, from what you've heard about Bradley Chubb, are you convinced he's worth moving up in the draft to get? Are you convinced of that?
Ira, it's the draft. Why would I be convinced anybody's worth it? You know, I mean, they don't need a quarterback, so that puts them in the perfect spot. You've been talking about that forever. So, they could play wait and see. None of these guys are necessarily a home run perfect fit. You can take the best player. You know, Lee and I are a little bit opposed to that. I would take the cornerback if you have him rated that high. I would, because they need one. They desperately need one. Whether they can develop him or not, they need one. Bad.
On the crazy chance that Barkley falls to seven, do you take him, Lee? Do you take him?
I would. Because that's your missing link on offense.
Now you can sell some tickets also.
If the Glazers are just worried about selling tickets, they would make a splash other ways. I'm not going to go there. But Barkley, you know, they've got wide receivers coming out of their ears. When have you ever heard, you've been covering the Bucks how long? 25, 30 years, Ira? When's the last time you heard, you know what, Bucks don't need a receiver in the draft?
Absolutely right.
So they're loaded at receiver. They're loaded at tight end. They have nothing at running back unless you're a Peyton Barber guy. So unless you're Peyton Barber's mother, they got nothing at running back. So that's the missing piece to what could be a spectacular offense. And that does sell tickets.
Ira, did Jameis Winston sell this team a lot of tickets? Number one pick in the draft, Mighty Jameis. Boy Wonder, Florida State. No, he didn't.
Well, they were coming off a 2-14 season. I guess you could argue that they're 5-11 now.
I know where Steve's going, and I don't disagree with what he's saying. That tickets, that's 1970s mentality, and
it would help to have a little buzz around this team. It would help.
Yeah, no, I don't think it's 1970s mentality, but he didn't sell a lot of tickets. That's just the deal. It just didn't happen.
They got to start winning games to sell tickets. It's that simple. They got to win games to save Light's career, possibly his career. They got to sell tickets to save Cutter's job. They need wins. When I say sell tickets, they need wins. then they can sell tickets. They need wins to sell tickets. They need wins to save Light's career. They need wins to save Cutter's career. A job, I should say. They need wins, period.
So, Sage of Tampa Bay Sports, when you're on the prowl at the owners' meetings, outside of the Jameis stuff, what are you going to be fishing for? I know last year you walked away with the knowledge that Chris Baker's a loafer, and what do you think you can extract from this thing?
And I also walked away with the knowledge that the O.J. Howard was very much on the Buck radar at number 19.
So you'll be sniffing, doing your mollusk thing, you suck on to
people.
Now
it's number 7. I'm going to find out how they feel about Nelson, Chubb, although I think I already know how they feel about Nelson. I think they have very strong, positive feelings about Nelson. I think he's a no-brainer, a no-blemish guy. But I'm on the Winston trail. I mean, I'm the only guy keeping the story alive over here, Steven. You guys don't want to talk about it.
There's nothing to talk about.
What is going on?
Unless we got some information, there's nothing.
Ira, I love talking about it. What are you talking about? I love talking about it. It's a con job. It's a scam. We all know it's a scam. And hopefully the Glazers stand up and fix this thing. This week, they'll have everybody there they need to talk to and exercise their muscle just to get a resolve, good, bad, or indifferent, whatever.
I'm looking forward to the Dirt Cutter breakfast, Steve. I know you're going to be there. I might stick my craw at the table a little bit. I know what's going to happen, Lee.
What, you want to have scrambled eggs?
It starts with the breakfast. Okay. And I'm going to go over there and then put my links down there and the bacon and everything. And when I get to the table, I'm going to look at Cutter's, and he's going to have alfalfa sprouts. That's what he's going to have. And a piece of Melba toast. And a little cereal. Because that's
Melba
what Gruden used to do that.
Melba toast?
Yeah, Gruden would embarrass me every year. A little banana on his plate. I'm over there. I got things falling off my plate over here. I got the gravy.
Ira, a couple things. First,
I'm looking forward to the Cutter breakfast.
Now, is John Gruden going to get on this podcast? Come on. You're going to see him on next week. Is he going to get on this podcast? Tell the people.
Well, we're going to have limited time over there. You're not going to interrupt this 45-minute breakfast. Tell him to get on a podcast.
After breakfast, you shake his hand and say, John, can you do my podcast 5 minutes? People love you. They love you. They miss you.
What do you want, 25 minutes or you want 10 minutes?
5, 10, whatever.
I'll do my best, my
friend. All right, Ira, come through. Now, is Rondé Barber going to do the smart thing and walk around Orlando and shake hands?
I reminded Rondé again this week to show up. I did remind him. He goes, I don't know. I said, hey, you can sneak around a golf in. It's a beautiful course over there. He goes, well, now you got me interested over there.
You know who else is going to be over there? Glad handing? Robert Ayers.
Robert Ayers is going to be there?
Yeah, he figured, and this is smart. He's like, well, he needs a job. Who's going to be there? Every general manager in the NFL.
That's outstanding.
Well, hopefully we can get him on the podcast. Naturally pissed off person. That's his famous quote. Yeah, so hopefully we can get him on. Share a little anger. I'm sure he's not happy about being cut.
That's outstanding. Maybe T.J. Ward will be hanging around the ninth hole over there.
Let's not compare those guys. Oh, you see what Robert Evers is doing when he got the news, awful news?
I guess he was on a cruise ship.
Yeah, with his family.
Yeah. Steve, we got our work cut out. We got to do a lot of work in a short amount of time out there. This is no vacation for you.
Well, we'll get plenty of draft buzz, which I'm eager to share. The Dirt Cutter will be have a lot to say. And the best part about the owners or the coach's breakfast, Ira, is that Cutter's stuck there. He can't. That's the fans don't realize that. He's not at a podium where he could just walk and leave and wrap it up. He's stuck there for an hour. Otherwise, he gets fined by the NFL. The coaches have to sit and talk.
And then national guys start coming over to the table.
Unless your name's Belichick.
Right, but this year, what national guy in his right mind wants to talk to Dirk Cutter? The Bucs are off the radar. Dirk Cutter is going to be like, honestly, the way Doug Marrone last year was at the coaches' breakfast. Last year, it's just me and him for the last 15 minutes.
They are off the radar, Lee, because every day we go to NFL.com, they never have a Buck story. The only thing you come up with is Kay Adams, crowing about Jason Light.
Well, she just, guess what the subject was? A kicker.
A kicker.
So, by the way, I got people fired up about you on the site.
Oh.
Yeah, I mentioned how you want to see less of Kay Adams and more boring press conferences.
Oh, I noticed that.
And that's got people, they can't understand your fly.
Well, I hope Kay Adams isn't in Orlando because she may give me the brush off over there. She might.
Hey, your podcast rolls on.
Well, I was just going to say, and this will get Ira going here. The USC Pro Day was today. It was at noon Eastern time. And what that coincide with? Just after the West Coast feed of Good Morning America ended.
Oh.
They know what they're doing there.
Hey, Steve, one thing we haven't mentioned about next week, and you're involved in this.
We
expect to have the annual sit-down with the co-owner of this football team. And I know you've got some questions. You're going to be ready. I'm going to be ready. And that's certainly going to be something to talk about on the next podcast, too, or the Thursday podcast. But it'll definitely be covered next week.
Are you going to be asking for a job, Ira? They really need you at Buccaneers.com.
They passed me by once. You only get one shot. You only get one shot at the Sage over there.
Uh-oh.
I'm very happy where I am. Get out of here.
Get out of here, Ira.